Thank you, Alex. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. And if you're visiting with us, we're working our way through the book of Exodus. This week we find ourselves in the actual Exodus event, crossing the Red Sea. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here, and just want to welcome you if you're visiting with us. So glad you're here with us. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to be looking at the second half of this chapter this morning. Exodus 14, beginning in verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten the glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of the Lord, who was going before the hosts of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and of cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging or seizing their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily, and the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and that the water may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning had appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, and the waters being a wall to them on the right and left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. The Bible says of itself that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. God, we bow before you, and we thank you that your people, through the Exodus, saw your glory and your power, and that they believed and that they feared you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would do the same, seeing your glory, seeing your power, that we would believe and fear. I pray for folks here this morning that may be struggling with different things, that you would bring encouragement by the Holy Spirit. I pray for those that need to be challenged and shaken out of their slumber, that you would open their hearts and eyes to see wonderful things from your word. Bless our time this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Empowered. Okay, I will admit that empowered is maybe an overused word in our culture and in our world, but think with me about the idea of being equipped and strengthened and encouraged and motivated to do what you're called to do and be what you're called to be. That's something that plays in our world. It's something that is important for us. And I want us to think about that as we begin with athletes or maybe musicians or dancers who have had coaches and instructors who are not only able to tell them what they're supposed to do, but coaches or teachers who are able to show them how to do it, who are able to give them, show them through their own skills, through their credentials, they're able to demonstrate how to make that really difficult pass, or how to play one thing with your right hand and another thing with your left hand, or how to work on that dance move, your on-point move, to perfect it the rest of your dancing career. And not only say this is what you're supposed to do, but this is how you do it. Watch this. Watch me. In the book of Exodus, one of the themes is this phrase, Israel saw. Last week, we saw it in Exodus 14. Verse 14, Moses said, "Fear not, stand firm, and what? See the salvation of our God." Essentially, watch this, you will never see these Egyptians again. And the summary statement in Exodus 14, verse 31, Israel saw the great power that God used against the Egyptians. For the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. God's people saw. God's people experienced firsthand with their own eyes, in their own lives, that salvation belongs to the Lord. They saw God deliver. They saw God destroy their enemies. Seeing God's power, brothers and sisters, seeing God's power empowers us to fear the Lord and believe in the Lord. And that's what I want us to see this morning. We need here today to see God's power as well. Because it's so easy for us to forget it and to doubt it and to wonder if God's power is real and if it's still true. And with the help of Holy Spirit, we are able to see with eyes of faith what God has done, what God is like. We're able to see His power and His work and His might and His salvation. And when we see that, it changes and emboldens and strengthens and transforms and what? It empowers us to believe in God. Seeing the Exodus, seeing the cross of Jesus Christ reminds us that God loves us, that He cares for us, that He protects us, even though we're broken sinners. Even though our faith is weak, we need to see week in and week out, over and over, that our hope and our deliverance and our standing in this world and for the world to come is not based on our resume, it's not based on how well we're doing, it's not based on our good works, it's based on Him, His work, His grace, His love and power. That's the type of thing that can empower us to live and become the boys and girls, the men and women that God has meant for us to be. So let's think about this together. The first thing we see from this passage is that seeing God's power empowers us to move forward in faith. You ever been in a situation in your life, a time in your life, where you simply felt stuck? Maybe there are all kinds of reasons and causes for this. Fear, burnout, depression, grief. But you just can't move forward. You feel paralyzed. From my extensive understanding of military tactics, which I've learned from watching movies and miniseries, I understand that in certain situations, maybe in a lot of situations, it can be bad in battle if you just stay in one place. It can be bad because the enemy can figure out exactly where you are, and they can call in an airstrike or call in an artillery barrage. They can zero in on your position. You've got to keep moving. And in some sense, that's true in the Christian life as well. And we see it here in Exodus chapter 14. As God told His people through Moses, "Fear not, stand firm, be silent, watch the salvation of your God." It's in that posture, it's in that context of complete trust that we read Exodus 14, 15. God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people of God to move forward." This is one of the only places I can think of in the Bible where God basically says, stop praying and start moving. Remember the setting. God's people, their backs are against the wall. The Egyptians are closing in, and moving forward meant moving to the edge of the Red Sea, which feels like a dead end. God tells once again what he's going to do. He tells Moses and he tells his people what he will do, that deliverance will come, but all they can see is this ocean, this giant body of water in front of them. So sometimes moving forward in faith means following God's lead, following his word, his commandments, even when it feels like a dead end. Sometimes moving forward in faith means getting up each day and putting one foot in front of the other, even though everything feels so hard and difficult and scary and impossible, and this is not the way that I would have written things for my life. But seeing God's power empowers us to move forward in faith, even when it feels like we're standing still. What are the areas in your life where you need to see and embrace God's power and love and be reminded of his love and grace and sovereignty to move forward in faith in your life? Maybe there are things about your past that you're afraid to address because you think dealing with them will be too hard. Maybe there are scars or wounds that you've never really dealt with. Or maybe there are things right now in your life that make you just want to sit down and give up. Brothers and sisters, seeing God's power empowers us to move forward in faith. And sometimes moving forward in faith is as simple as, can you pray for me? I don't know what to do. Could you help me? Maybe we could get lunch together. Seeing God's power empowers us to move forward in faith. Another thing we see from this passage is that seeing God's power empowers us to participate in his work. Most of us believe that God is working. Most of us believe that God is working in this world and that things are happening and lives are being changed. But it's harder for us to believe that God is working through me, that God is working in us to accomplish his wonderful and incredible plan. You know, God did not need Moses to hold up his hands so that the Red Sea parted. God did not need Moses to put his hand over so that the water would come down on the Egyptians. God did not need Moses to lead the people through and into toward the promised land. He didn't need Moses to proclaim and teach them about himself. God could have done all of those things himself, but he chose to use Moses. He called Moses. He invited Moses to participate in his wonderful and glorious work. And the same thing is true with us. God invites us to and empowers us in his work. He uses people like us, people who struggle to believe in him, people who have complicated family situations, people who have made big mistakes, people who thought they'd be further along by now. Seeing God's power empowers us to embrace his work. And that's the thing. It's his work. Make no mistake, it's his work. It's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. And our response is empowerment to work and serve and give our lives and our time and our treasures and our talents to God because he is working in us. Just a few examples. Service. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 10? Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be bondservant of all. Why? Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. One of the greatest misconceptions, lies that we believe about life is that life is about what we can get. The reality is that God empowers us to participate in His work by serving others. So, elders and deacons at Palmetto Hills Church, your calling, your invitation, your charge by King Jesus is to be servant leaders. And every one of us here this morning, we are meant to serve, and God empowers us to participate in His work of service. Think about prayer. Why do we pray? We pour out our hearts to God for our church and our family and for missions. We pray for things across the street and around the world. Why? Because God doesn't know? No, that's not it. God knows all things. It's because He has called us to participate in His work. He not only answers our prayers, He uses our prayers in His eternal purpose, in His everlasting plan. Think about how God, seeing God's power, empowers us to do evangelism. We are charged and challenged and commanded to carry the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why? Because God is working. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. He is the one who opens people's hearts. He is the one who changes their minds and opens their hearts and minds to the love and grace and beauty of the gospel, and He uses us in the process. What a blessed and wonderful opportunity to participate in God's work. Seeing God's power empowers us to move forward in faith. It empowers us to participate in His work. It also empowers us to believe that God has got our backs. You ever been in a situation before where you were scared, intimidated, and afraid of a bully or a group of people, and someone steps in for you? Maybe your big brother, maybe a friend, maybe a parent, maybe some complete stranger, and they stand between you and the bully, and the message is loud and clear. If you want to get to her, you have to come through me. How powerful and encouraging is it to know and to see that someone has your back? In Exodus 14, one of the main things that is communicated here is that God has got our back. And there are two ways that is demonstrated in this passage. Look at me at verse 19. Exodus 14, 19. It says, the angel of the Lord went behind them. You remember from our study in Genesis a few years ago and at the beginning of the book of Exodus, angel of the Lord and the Lord are often used interchangeably. So what this passage is saying is that the Lord was leading His people out of Egypt. And now the Lord, the angel of the Lord, positions Himself from leading them up to the Red Sea. He goes in behind them, between them and the Egyptians. God goes between them to protect them. And then it goes on in verse 20, another picture. The pillar of cloud moved behind them. The pillar of cloud that was leading them out moved behind them. And the cloud says it covered the Egyptians in darkness, like the darkness they experienced in the ninth plague. Nothing they could do, nowhere they could go. And at the same time, look at what the verse says, the glory cloud lit up the night for God's people as they waited to cross the Red Sea. You see, God is defending and protecting His people. Do you believe that God has your back? To be clear, God having our back does not mean that He's going to swoop down and deliver us from all the hard things. It does not mean that we won't go through pain and difficulty and heartbreak, but it does mean that we can trust God through every situation and in every station in our lives. Seeing God's power empowers us to believe that God has our back. Remember Romans 8? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is there anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? If God didn't spare His one and only Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? What are the things in your life this morning where you need to remember and know and be empowered to believe that God has your back? What are the situations where you're tempted to think, I guess God doesn't care, or maybe God doesn't have the power I thought He had, or I wonder if God is really good? Dear ones, God has our back, and Jesus Christ is the pledge and the promise that that is true. The last thing we see from this passage is that seeing God's power empowers us to accept deliverance and destruction. This power, this passage describes the miraculous deliverance of God's people against all odds. And it also unequivocally describes the miraculous destruction and annihilation of the Egyptians. There's no way around it. It's a story of deliverance and destruction. And it's a story of deliverance. It's difficult for us to accept help, to ask for help. God's deliverance through the Exodus is a simple reminder that we need to be helped and rescued and delivered. And make no mistake, what happens here in Exodus chapter 14 is a bona fide miracle. Contrary to what some modern people say, that actually what happened back then was they went through the Sea of Reeds, not the Red Sea, and it was just a shallow body of water, maybe like trudging through a creek in the low country at low tide. That's not what happened. The Bible makes it clear. God's people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. It was an absolute undeniable miracle. And notice that an east wind blew back the water all night long. A wind out of the east. They were coming from the west, going east. So God parted the Red Sea from the other side first, all the way across. So God's people waiting on deliverance. They were promised deliverance and they had God's protection and they still were called to wait. Salvation belongs to our God. It's real, it's powerful, it's a miracle, just as miraculous as Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. Seeing God's power empowers us to receive and accept His deliverance. It also empowers us to accept His destruction. The Egyptians' hearts were hardened. They rushed in after God's people into the heart of the sea, and in the morning, the Lord clogged, He bound up, He froze their chariot wheels, kind of like in battle, if the tank treads broke on the tank would be worthless. The guys would get out of the tank and run for their lives, and here there was terror and gridlock and panic which ensued, and as the people of God get across, when the Egyptians are still in between the two walls of water, Moses put his staff over the water and it came down on the Egyptians and they were destroyed. And notice when it happened, it's mentioned several times, in the morning watch, in the morning, when the sun was rising, when Ra, their sun god, would come to their rescue to deliver them. And God demonstrates and shows there are no other gods. The gods of the people are idols, but He is the Holy One of Israel, and He is filled with power, and He destroyed His and God's people's enemies. This is part of the Christian message. God empowers us to accept His deliverance and destruction. God is a God of mercy, and He's also a just judge, and those who trust in Him, He accepts and forgives, and those who trust in themselves, God will destroy. He's the Holy One of Israel. Seeing God's power empowers us to accept both parts of that story. I want us to close this morning by thinking of another place where deliverance and destruction met, where justice and mercy kissed. I want to call your attention to the person of Jesus Christ. I want you to see His supernatural conception and birth. I want you to think about His unique life and ministry and how He preached the good news of the kingdom of God and how He brought the kingdom of God to earth through His miracles, obeying the law of God completely, fulfilling His Father's will perfectly. I want you to see Jesus Christ marching into Jerusalem, falsely arrested, tried by a kangaroo court, mocked and beaten and shamed and reviled and unjustly executed on a cruel Roman cross. Against all odds, in the most unlikely way, Christ was destroyed to bring us deliverance. Christ was executed so that we might have an exodus. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, wrote about it hundreds of years before Jesus lived. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced, why? For our transgressions. He was crushed, why? For our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Dear ones, in the life and death and resurrection and ascension and rule and return of Jesus Christ, we see the power of God play out before our very eyes. And by that power, we are empowered not only to believe the gospel and to embrace eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, we are empowered to be changed and transformed as we ponder and process and come to terms with the depths of the riches of the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. By God and the cross and Jesus and His rule and reign, we are empowered to comprehend the incomprehensible. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. This is why we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our bread and butter. The gospel is our fastball. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." And so, as we close, here is my challenge for you. Here is my call. Here's the takeaway. See God's power in the Exodus, in the cross, in your life. See God's power and let it empower you to live for God, to trust in God, to believe in God. And if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted and repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ, call upon Him. He will forgive. And for those who know and love Him, be empowered, therefore, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter, the author of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. O Lord, help us to be empowered as we see Your power at work in us and in this world. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your salvation and your forgiveness and your redemption. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. And so we pray that you would help us to believe in it, believe in you, to believe, Lord Jesus, that you lived the life that we haven't lived and died the death that we deserve so that we can have abundant and eternal life. Strengthen us, empower us to glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our closing hymn this morning is one of my favorites, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Let's stand as we sing together.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in us.